Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, Pray for Understanding More of God.
We're going to read Joshua 8, 1-29. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear, be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and go up now to Ai. See, I have handed over to you the king of Ai with his people, his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you may take as booty for yourselves. Set an ambush against the city behind it. So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to go up against Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 warriors and sent them out by night with the command, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you stay alert. I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out against us, as before, we shall flee from them. Then they will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they shall say, they are fleeing from us as before. While we flee from them, you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will give it into your hand. And when you have taken the city, you shall set the city on fire, doing as the Lord has ordered. See, I have commanded you. So Joshua sent them out, and they went to the place of ambush and lay between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai, and Joshua spent the night in the camp. In the morning, Joshua rose early and mustered the people and went up with the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. All the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and camped on the north side of Ai with a ravine between them and Ai. Taking about 5,000 men, he set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai and to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces, the main encampment that was north of the city and its rear guard west of the city. But Joshua spent that night in the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, he and all the people and the inhabitants of the city hurried out early in the morning to the meeting place facing the Arabah to meet Israel in battle. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all of Israel made a pretense being beaten before them and fled in the direction of the wilderness. So all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And as they pursued Joshua, they were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the sword that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the sword that was in his hand towards the city. As soon as he stretched out his hand, the troops in ambush rose quickly out of their place and rushed forward. They entered the city, took it, and at once set the city on fire. So when the men of Ai looked back, the smoke of the city was rising to the sky. They had no power to flee this way or that, for the people who fled in the wilderness turned back against their pursuers. When Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city was rising, then they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out from the city against them. So they were surrounded by Israelites, some on one side, some on the other. And Israel struck them down until no one was left who survived or escaped. But the king of Ai was taken alive and brought to Joshua. When Israel had finished slaughtering all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness, where they pursued them, and when all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai and attacked it with the edge of the sword. The total of those who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the sword until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city Israel took as their booty, according to the word of the Lord that he had issued to Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it forever a heap of ruins, as it is to this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree, threw it down at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. So now we have Luke 11, 1-13.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you had a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to see me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
So, go back to Evelyn Underhill's quote again. If God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshipped. So I've always struggled with these Old Testament verses, passages that are just like what you might call genocide. Now you go into an area and wipe out the inhabitants, 12,000 of the men and women. And there's echoes here of Moses. So when he stretched out, when Moses stretched out his staff, you know, the waters parted, amazing things happened, and they escaped. The people who were enslaving them, the Egyptians, and they were liberated. And here we have the sword being raised up against the inhabitants of Ai and then being wiped out. And it's so easy, if you just take this passage as itself, it's just to see it as this is an angry, tyrant, judgmental, like really harsh God. And so often people just take that as itself, and that's like, that's the impression they have of God. And lots of damage has been done in the past by taking passages like this and thinking like, oh, God is for war, you know, God is for violence. But we have to look through the lens of Jesus now. We have to look through the lens of actually what we know of God in the whole of Scripture. So I know that God is a liberator and not an enslaver. He's not a tyrant. And we have this picture in the New Testament that has God as a, first of all, as a friend. A friend, lend me these loaves. And he's like, don't bother me. You know, but he knows in the Middle Eastern customs that you have to be hospitable to someone in need. And so he knows he will eventually get up for his friend. And he doesn't want to because he's going to wake up his children. And I can sympathize with that. But there is a friend in need of it, and it's his persistence. He keeps going back to him and asking. And then Jesus says, you know, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. And so when we find passages like this in the Old Testament, I think we have to ask God, like, what does he want to show us through it? Or what, help us to understand it. Keep on going. Keep asking why this has happened. Because a lot of the reasons behind this has been lost to history. What the people of Ai were like, I don't know what, but we do know that God does give out judgment. He does, like Jesus doesn't shy away from talking about the sheep and the goats and separating people into those who will be saved and those who aren't. He doesn't shy away from talking about the wheat and the chaff and then the burning up of the chaff. And there is this judgment that is going to happen and currently and is happening. And so when we come across passages like this in the Old Testament, we have to ask actually, well, what's happened? But what do we know of God? So he is not an enslaver. He's not a tyrant. He is a father and a friend. So why he wouldn't give a snake instead of a fish? If your child asks for you, if your child asks for an egg, will he give a scorpion? He's not like this evil God. So I know I'm to hang on to that while I read passages like this. Another thing that really helps is knowing that God is waging a war against evil. He's asking us to pray. And this in the Old Testament could be seen as a war against evil. We're not totally sure, but there's a lot of symbolism there as well. But something that helps well to put a framework over our faith is the Lord's Prayer. They said, Jesus, you know, teach us to pray. And he is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. And this is like a prayer for his journey there. Your kingdom, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to this time of trial. It's like Jesus is saying this prayer as he's going to the cross. And we know that instead of rising up and battling the evil of the Romans with knives and, you know, with swords, like in the Old Testament, he's doing it differently this time. He's going to the cross and he's asking us to engage in the battle against evil with prayer. So I think it's the same God in the Old Testament and New Testament. There is characteristics there of God looking after his people and being a liberator still. But it is still confusing. And Evelyn's right. If I totally understood God and all of his ways, then it's like I'd put myself above God. But, oh, I'd explain away all these things. And historically, we have tried to explain away passages like this, whether it's all symbolism and whether the city of Ai was already destroyed because the name itself means ruin. And it's just they're making these stories up as they pass through this promised land that God has provided for them. But whatever happens, we have to know that Jesus is showed us the real characteristics of God, and he showed us how to pray and what to do and how to look at passages like this Old Testament. So that's an interesting one for this morning. What does that mean for us in prayer this morning? I think by engaging in this morning prayer, I used to struggle with liturgy. I used to struggle with that kind of repetitive framework, but actually it's really good. And I think Tom Wright describes it as the metal chassis on a car. So you need the shell, you need the framework. But actually, if you're just a shell, you still need fuel to run the car. You still need the engine. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that is actually coming with humility before God and just saying, "Yo, help me today." And not just going through the repetitive motions, but it's the car wouldn't be a car without a shell. So we engage in this liturgy, we engage in prayer, knowing that it's a helpful framework for us to grow spiritually with God, to help us understand more of him every day. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for understanding as we look at situations. Help us. I want God to help me to see what he's actually saying through them. And then, again, let's pray for Ukraine and the world. Anything else that comes to mind? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the richness of it. And as we come before it this morning, would you help us with an understanding that is from you? Thank you for the example of Jesus and how he changed everything. The disciples thought they knew what was going to happen, and Jesus turned it all on its head. So, Lord, I thank you for that holy persistence in the New Testament where we keep asking. And Lord, this morning we ask for your kingdom to come here again in Taunton. We ask for your kingdom to come in the UK. We ask for your kingdom to come in Ukraine. We ask it to come in Syria, Lord. And all those refugee camps, Lord, we ask for your kingdom to come. And God, we know that you're not a tyrant. You're not a dictator. You are a liberator. You're someone who wants us to be more human, to live joyfully. And so, Lord, we ask those in those places of need that you give them their daily bread. And as violence is done to them in these war-torn places, God, would you help us not to forget, but to forgive? Otherwise, the violence will just grow and grow. Lord, would you help us to end this cycle of violence that keeps happening around the world? I kept thinking I'd never see conflict like this in Europe after the World War II. You know, that's back then. It's not going to happen again. And here it is again. And so, Lord, would you help us to free ourselves from this need for war? Well, thank you again for reminding us that you are big and you are strong and powerful and you see it all. And so, Lord, as we come here, just the three of us and whoever's online gathering today, we feel small. We might feel insignificant. But God, would you help us to pray? Would you help us to be warriors for you in this battle against evil? Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.